ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। So this in this chapter 4 from verse 25 to 13, six verses in total, he talks about yajnas, the concept of yajna. Various places he mentions this yajna. A person who conducts yajna externally, he is offering to a certain devata. Yajna is a fire worship that we all know. And in fire worship, a devata is invoked, and to that devata you offer through the fire. Fire is called as avyavahana, means fire, through fire you are offering it to that particular devata. So if you want, let's say wealth, then you offer to Lakshmi through the fire. So there is a kund. In the kund, fire is lit by putting wood, and you churn the wood, and in the friction, the fire comes out. And into the fire, you offer the grains or ghee, and then chant mantras, shlokas, etc. And through the fire, even though you are offering it to the fire, you are actually offering it to the devata. In this example, it is Lakshmiji. Then the devata blesses you with the result. This is the fire ritual we all know. Now in the Upanishads, especially in the Mundaka Upanishad, he says you can convert this physical yajna, the yajna that you perform as a ritual, into daily activities. The daily activities can be converted into yajna. Anything, any action that you perform can be converted into yajna. In fact, that is the significance of this yajna. It is not just to perform the fire ritual and then come back and become selfish in your life. Yajna means acting in the spirit of service and sacrifice. So, the kund in which you put the wood, that kund represents the goal. The goal can be family, the goal can be community, goal can be organization, goal can be country, humanity, or all species. Depending upon what you are able to conceive, but it has to be something beyond your selfish, self-centered interests. So, kund represents the goal. And into the kund, you light the fire. And to that fire, to that goal, you offer. What do you offer? Grains or ghee, which represents your talents, your duties, your responsibilities, whatever you need to do. So, you offer to that goal, you are the offerer, you offer all your talents, your activities into that kund, to that goal. Keeping your selfishness, your personal preferences aside. When you go to work, your personal preferences do come in between. So you keep aside your personal preferences and do what has to be done in the interest of that good. And when each one of us who are part of that organization or family or country or community come together and offer our duties and responsibilities and activities, talents for that common goal, keeping our personal preferences aside, then the goal will be achieved together with the team spirit. Then the profit potential rises, the fire shoots up and blesses you. And we share the profit potential, which is taken in the prasada bhav. So there is arpana bhav, dedication. In yajna, there is a goal to which you dedicate. So there is dedication, and then whatever comes out of such an activity, you accept as prasada. So this is called yajna. Now, from morning till night, from the womb to tomb, all activities can be converted into yajna. Now, this activity of Bhagavad Gita class can be done as yajna or can be done mundane. If we do these activities, the so-called spiritual activity, only to get some material stuff out of it, to become famous, to make some contacts, to make some living out of it, then it becomes mundane. If the same thing is dedicated for a higher purpose, it becomes spiritual. Now, this is, I am giving the example of Bhagavad Gita, study, teaching, etc. Even a mundane thing, that's why they take the example of eating. The previous shloka, verse 24, is generally chanted before eating food. Brahmarpanam, Brahma Havihi, Brahma Agnav, Brahmanahutam, Brahma Ivatena Gantavyam, Brahma Karma Samadhina. You can either live to eat or eat to live. When you live to eat, it is not spiritual. It is mundane. You should not live to eat. Only eating should not be your main thing. Eating meaning indulgence. You don't just eat through your mouth. You are eating color and form through your eyes, smell through your nose, taste through your tongue, sound through your ears, and touch through your skin. So many of us live our life mechanically to just indulge. Kao piyo maja karo. Just eat, eat, eat. Consume. Yajna is you offer, and then whatever comes as a result, you take that as prasad. And that consumption, the prasad, is also for you to keep in a certain level of fitness at the physical, mental and all levels, so that you can continue to contribute. This whole thing is through contribution, slowly, slowly, finally the very contributor is contributed. Initially, you are contributing, and slowly, slowly you purify yourself and come to that height, evolution through these contributions, where you contribute the very contributor. When the contributor himself or herself, the ego, is sacrificed, what remains is Brahman. Are you with me? So initially you do this contribution by which you purify yourself, and then finally you come to a stage where the very contributor is contributed. That contributor is contributed is not taking a knife and cutting yourself. What it means is, at the intellectual level, with jnanam you do that. So this is the purpose of yajna. Like you put an iron ball into a furnace of 1500 degrees Celsius. The iron ball becomes fire. So by continuing to do the yajna activity, finally you merge with Brahman. So the goal of human life is to exhaust all the desires, vasanas, eliminate tamas, eliminate rajas, increase sattva, and finally go beyond sattva and reach Brahman. Ultimately, for the individuality to be merged with the totality. That is the purpose of life. So therefore, the yajna is capable of slowly taking you to the highest. So you don't have to worry that I can't perform such a massive yajna ritual. Every perception, action, emotion and thought can be converted into yajna as long as it is done as a dedication for the higher with the awareness. If you mechanically go through that, it will not be yajna. But if you go through the same activity consciously with an awareness and dedication, it becomes yajna. So, a goal into which you offer, and by offering, you become slowly, slowly purified. And then finally, through the jnanam, you offer the very offerer. That is at the intellectual level. And then what remains thereafter is only Brahman, where the jiva becomes one with Ishvara. This is the idea. Where the wave is dissolved into water. What does that mean? Wave understands that it is essentially water. One drop is also water. The entire ocean is also water. So the microcosm and the macrocosm is nothing but Brahman. Microcosm is that one drop. Macrocosm is the ocean. Both are essentially water. Similarly, Vedanta says, the microcosm, you, the individual, and the macrocosm, the whole Jagat universe, both are essentially Brahman. Both are superimposed on Brahman. So once you gain that knowledge, through that knowledge, you dissolve the ego, you offer the ego, the knowledge is kindled, the knowledge of the fact that you are Brahman, that is called merger of individual in the total. So this is the purpose of doing yajna, not just to stop doing physical yajna. You've got to come into converting each and every action into yajna. This is a concept. So that is why when they perform yajna, they use a ladle to pour the ghee and all that, which is also made of wood. Finally, in the yajna, that ladle also is offered. Then that is also burnt. This whole life is to give, not to take. This is what Victor Hugo also says. This life is to give, not to take. The more and more you start giving, finally you give the very giver. Then what remains is only Brahman. You have to reach that height. So this is called the concept of yajna. And in this portion, he talks about 12 yajnas, and then he himself says this list is not exhaustive, because like I said, any action can be converted to yajna. Then if you say any action can be converted to yajna, how can it be limited only to 12? So there are lot more yajnas presented in this world which you can do. Seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, feeling, thinking, everything should be converted into yajna. So once you become a spiritual person, this is what you are supposed to do. That is why we say prayer is not a part-time, pastime hobby. It is a full-time awareness of truth. The problem in the world today is we go and do one yajna in the puja room and then we come out and continue our life extremely selfish. This is not the idea for which all these prayers are given. The idea is you got to take that ritual into your daily life and live in the spirit. And once you live in that spirit, then you will see the transformation happening in your life. Otherwise, there won't be any transformation. So starting from verse 25 to 30, he talks about 12 yajñas. And one verse before that, 24th verse, which we chanted, Brahmarpanam, Brahma Havihi, Brahma Agnav, Brahmana Hutam, Brahma Ivatena Gantavyam, Brahma Karma Samadhina. This verse generally we chant before we eat food. This verse and 14th verse of chapter 15. Now what does it mean? When you sit down to eat, before eating you talk, you chant this. Why? What are you saying in this chanting? What are you saying in this verse? You're saying, I am eating food which is also Brahman. Eaten by me who is Brahman. Why it is eaten? It is eaten to reach Brahman. So this is what I said. You don't live to eat. You eat to live, and that life you want to live to reach Brahman. So, I think somebody's microphone is on. Can you please put it in mute, please? Yeah. Thank you. So there is fire, the hunger, Vaishvanara in our stomach. Into that fire, you are offering the food. So the food is presented as an offering. Remember, we have talked about a symbolism in the class before to explain how jnana dissolves the vasanas. When the same action is done without jnana, how it increases vasanas. For that, we gave this example of when you do puja, there are a lot of flowers kept on a plate, and you turn your fingers upside down, pick up the flowers, and then turn it up and offer it at the feet of the Lord. The flowers have fragrance, vasanas, so the flower represents the vasanas, the desires in you. So you pick up vasana when your fingers are pointing down. So when you're acting selfishly in this world, mind-oriented action, mechanical action increases vasana. But if the same vasana, same flowers are turned upwards towards a higher goal, towards Bhagavan, then the vasanas drop. So that is the idea. So you pick up vasana when it is selfish. When you turn it upward, you drop the vasana. So, that is the same idea here. If the food is eaten with the purpose of mere enjoyment, indulgence, selfishness, egoistic, then you increase the vasanas. On the contrary, you consciously direct it towards the goal, dedicate it for a purpose. Then while eating, you are doing it consciously as a sadhak. So your mind is not in the food, it is in the Bhagavan. Therefore, it is done as an offering. So that is why we say it doesn't matter what you do, but how you do matters. It doesn't matter what you do, but how you do. So, you take the flowers and point it up, the flowers drop. If you don't turn it upward, you pick up more vasanas. So this is the technique that Vedanta is teaching us. When you do it with awareness directed towards the higher, vasanas drop. So when you eat, you are offering it into the fire in the belly. So Vaishvanara is the fire. Into that fire you are offering. And you are doing it consciously. When you do it consciously, you develop inner strength. With that inner strength, you continue doing your other sadhanas and you realize the self. Don't get indulged in the activity of consumption of food. So therefore, in 24, that verse was chanted. Now in 25 to 30, he begins talking about these yajñas. The first one he talks about is called Deva Yajna. The second one is called as Brahma Yajna. Now, I'll explain to you what this Deva Yajna and Brahma Yajna. In English, if you convert these words, You can say devas means gods, gods in plural. Gods with small g and with s at the end, gods, plural. Small g, O-D-S. And when you talk about Brahman, it is God in singular with capital G. Why this difference? To make us understand, there is only one Brahman. In Vedanta, we don't say there is only one God. We say there is only God. This whole universe is also nothing but expression of God only. Brahman only. Brahman in various names and forms is you and me and all of us. Therefore, another name for this world is Nama Rupa. This world is nothing but Nama Rupa. Just like charcoal is also carbon, diamond is also carbon. Only the molecular structure is different. Otherwise, both are carbon only. Similarly, everything in this universe is nothing but Brahman and Brahman alone. In one particular Rupa, it has been given a separate name. The Nama Rupa is different. That's about it. So therefore, we say there is only God. That only God is Ekam. That one Ekam has become Anekam. So that Brahman, then you say Brahman, it is the biggest. Biggest means infinite. So one God. Therefore, Brahman is God ultimate goal. Devas, when you say, are the illuminators, the relative goals, limited goals, various manifested powers are taken as devas. Agni Deva, Vayu Deva. So you have various devatas. All are various manifested powers. So, limited goals, in the modern context, you can use this word and say limited goals, relative goals. Those who are not able to conceive of self-realization as their ultimate goal, as the goal, right now, you can conceive of self-development or self-purification as your goal. If I am 10% developed today, my goal can be 20% or 25% developed. So self-development can be a relative goal. So in short, what he is saying is, a human life cannot be merely made to be driven by the senses per se. This is a symbolism of the chariot also. This is a chariot example that comes in Kathopanishad. That symbolism on which Lord Krishna and Arjuna are seated, the chariot. What is the symbolism? Chariot is our body. Horses are our senses. The reins are the mind. Arjuna is the individual. Krishna is the intellect. Now, if Krishna, the intellect, is controlling, reins the mind, in turn controlling the senses, the horses, then the chariot, the body, the personality will be directed towards the destination or goal without the horses going in its own directions, which will make the chariot collapse and the individual will be on the road. Whereas when Krishna, the charioteer, the intellect, directs the chariot towards the destination, controlling the senses mind, then the individual can happily be seated in the body, the personality, and enjoy the life and also reach the destination safely. This is a symbolism. The same way, we must have a goal. First is, if you can conceive of self-realization as a goal, keep that as a goal. But not everyone can conceive self-realization as a goal. Therefore, you say, okay, that is my ultimate goal. Brahma Yajna. So then what do? To get there, I need to achieve some level of development or purification. Say, I can't directly see Everest and say, I'm going to climb Everest. Forget about it. So what do? You say, okay, I'll climb small peaks. And once I climb this peak, then I will be able to see few more peaks. So then I say, okay, those are my goals. So once I go to that height, next attempt, then from that level, my vision opens up further where I can see a higher goal. So I keep escalating my goal, then finally I'll keep my goal as Everest. And once I climb Everest, that's the maximum. Similarly, in spiritual field also, you keep on escalating your goal. You keep escalating your goal and you finally come to the goal of Brahman. So initially you offer to Devas and then finally you offer to Brahman. So have either a relative goal or absolute goal. So the first two yajnas are Deva Yajna and Brahma Yajna. Now, having set the goal, what you have to do? You have to now start dedicating actions at all levels for that goal. Then it will be converted into yajna. So, the third yajna that he talks about. So this, which I talked about, Deva Yajna and Brahma Yajna, he mentions in verse number 25. In verse number 26, he talks about Indriya Samyama Yajna or Dama Yajna. Dama Yajna means sense control. Sense control he presents as a yajna here. So, Indriya Samyama Yajna. What happens whenever we perceive, we indulge in the perception and increase the desires. Instead, when a sense object falls into our eyes, for example, color and form, the perception of that form is kindled. And the perception, when it is kindled, what is it? It is actually the consciousness coming up. See, there is fire in the kund already. When you offer the ghee, the fire shoots up. Similarly, there is consciousness within us. The pure consciousness is within us. It's not outside. The moment the sense object from the external world enters, when the sense object enters, for example, color and form enters our eyes, we become aware of that form, perception. And once in now, in nowadays, what happens to us in present context is, the moment I become aware of the form, then my mind starts running towards that form and I start mentally indulging in it. Then I lose sense control. Whereas, Indriya Samyama Yajna is what? The senses, sense objects are offered and my perception is kindled. When my perception is kindled, my consciousness is coming out in the form of that perception. So I become aware of that consciousness and I bow down to that consciousness rather than indulging in the senses. So it's called Dhamma Yajna. Then there is Vishaya Nigraha Yajna or Vishaya Bhoga Yajna. In Dhamma Yajna, you control your senses by not allowing it to go into any, senses that will take you away. You control them. In Vishaya Bhoga Yajna, you offer those senses which will help you to reach Brahman, but there again you will be aware of that perception. So, for example, now we are having a Zoom platform class. I think there is something called as waiting room. So, when you come in, the host will admit you. When the host admits, only then you can come in. So this we are supposed to do at the sense level. We don't do anything like that. Simply anything and everything can come in now. So Vishaya Bhoga Yajna and Dhamma Yajna means what? You scrutinize with awareness. Will this help me go towards Brahman? Or whatever goal you have, relative goal. Yes, this will help me. Then you say, okay, allowed. You say, no, this will not help me to go to my goal. Rather, it may take me away from my goal. Then you say, no. So this is called Dhamma Yajna, Indriya Nigraha, Samyama Yajna, or Vishaya Nigraha Yajna. Basically, both are at the sense level. One you allow, one you don't allow. The one you allow also is dedicated to that goal. One you don't allow also with reference to goal. Remember this. Why I am mentioning this here is, if it is not with reference to the goal, then it becomes a mere denial. Mere denial is not sense control. Sense denial is different from sense control. A lot of people don't understand this difference. Sense denial is restraining your senses and frustrating yourself without a direction by the intellect towards a purpose. So sense control is when you lend purpose to your contact. That's all. When you lend purpose to your contact, there is control. When there is no purpose to the contact and there is no purpose to your not contacting, it becomes denial and indulgence. Therefore, he talks about starting at the sense level, Dhamma Yajna and Vishaya Bhoga Yajna. Then he comes to mind, Atma Samyama Yajna. Or Shamayajna. Mind control. Mind will ultimately control the senses and sense organs of perception and sense organs of action. Now, even if you are sitting at home and not contacting any senses, the mind can pitch up some thoughts. Any thought can come. Now, you are supposed to take your intellect and analyze. Ask this question, is this thought something that will take me away from my goal or it will help me reach the goal? So with awareness, you direct the thoughts. Again in line with the goal. Remember this. Again in line with the goal. Then you are controlling your thoughts. Earlier we talked about senses. Now we are talking about mind. Atma. Atma here means the mind. The individuality. The self, meaning with small s. Whenever we say self with capital S, it is Atma, the ultimate reality in us. Whenever we talk about self with small s, Atma, we mean the individual. So, Shamayajna, where the mind is controlled and directed. When the mind is controlled and directed, automatically over a period of time you will see the senses are also controlled. When you control the senses, not necessarily the mind will be controlled. It will be conducive for the mind control. But when the mind is controlled, senses will also be controlled. So, Devayajna, Brahmayajna, Dhamma Yajna, Vishaya Bhoga Yajna, Shama Yajna. Five Yajnas we have seen. Then he comes to Dravya Yajna. Offering material. Now during this crisis situation, a lot of people are offering whatever they can offer to people. Some of us are blessed. Many people are not so much blessed. And especially when they are not working, they are not getting enough for their survival. some of us can pitch in and help them. So material tyaga. Dravya means wealth, material wealth. You sacrifice material wealth. As some portion of what you have acquired is offered, that you should do it with awareness, with the dedication. Again, if you do that for name, fame, power, position, then it ceases to be again. Then there is no awareness there. Then there is no dedication there. Remember, I told you at the beginning, dedication to a goal and prasad bhav, these two makes it yajna. So, dravya, material wealth offering is called dravya yajna. Your wealth is offered to kindle others' wealth. Now, when you do this, you are identifying with a larger circle, you are enhancing your ego. The ego, by expanding the circle of identification, the ego keeps on expanding, 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 and finally merges with the total. Other is through jnanam, you inquire, 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 and crush it out of existence. It's like passing a laser beam on the kidney stone. It crushes the stone into powder and removes it. That is how jnanam works. But when you identify with a larger purpose and do service, the ego identifies with a larger group and slowly, slowly it dilutes and dissolves. So dravya yajna is again for that purpose. You do it with awareness. Some people don't do charity, or most of the people do charity emotionally. Their emotions drive them to do the charity. Charity ought not to be done emotionally. It should be done with awareness. Of course, the pure emotion backing it is good, but you can't do it emotionally, mechanically. There has to be an intellectual awareness backing it. Then it becomes yajna. So dravya yajna. Oliver Goldsmith nicely says, nakedness of this world can be clothed with the trimmings of the rain. It's one of the most fascinating quotations. Nakedness, poverty, nakedness of this world can be clothed with the trimmings of the rain. The extra paraphernalia which has been accumulated, acquired mechanically, senselessly, to just feed our vanity, if that extra is sacrificed, is enough to clothe the world. Like Mahatma Gandhiji says, there is enough for the need of the world, but there is not enough for the greed of the world. There is this organization called Akshay Patra. Most of you might be aware of it. Now, somebody who is involved in it, they told me how they approached the Pizza Hut and few of their competitors, where they serve this French fries and all that. So they have to cut the potatoes in a particular shape and size. So when they do that, the extra portions of the potatoes, which are not in that shape, are thrown out. So the Akshay Patra people who serve poor children, they apparently run three kitchens, one in Delhi, one in Vrindavan, and one in Bengaluru. And they're serving all these Anganwadi schools. So they approached these people, having come to know of this. They said that extra portions of potatoes that you're throwing away in the garbage, which is edible, just because it's not in the shape and size you're throwing it away, you give it to us. So they collect it, they cook it, and serve the poor people. This is what Oliver Goldsmith is saying. nakedness of this world can be clothed with the trimmings of the vein. So Dravya Yajna doesn't mean just with awareness giving. With awareness, I'm going little bit extra to explain this. With awareness, you acquire also. Firstly, in the very first place, according to me, poverty is created because of two reasons. First reason is because of laziness, lethargy, not wanting to work. That is one reason for poverty. The other is, the other set of people who have greed and they hoard. And as a result of you hoarding, one set of people hoarding, the other people are not getting what they should get. So they become poor. And then out of emotion, when they come in front of you, you feel very big pity, bichara, you can't see him. So then from the stuff that you hoarded, little bit you give. This is not the way again. This is madness. There is not even charity. So, the awareness with which acquisition and giving, I'm including both. This is Dravya Yajna. Whatever I acquire, that should be also for the goal. Why am I eating? To live in this world, to fulfill my purpose of self-realization at the ultimate level and a relative level, whatever the goal is. Not hoard. So that awareness with which you deal with material level, that is called Dravya Yajna. Then Tapo Yajna. Krishna later on in the Bhagavad Gita end, 17th chapter, he talks about Yajna Dana Tapa. And then he says, 17 and 18, he says, Yajna Dana Tapa should not be given up according to my teaching reasons. So, Dravya Yajna comes under Dana. Tapo Yajna means physical tapas. There has to be some kind of tapas. We do tapas at the body level, speech level, mind level. So there has to be, like for example, he says body tapas. Tapas at the body level, he says, is worshipping Guru, elders, Shastra. And tapas at the speech level is practicing maunam, not speaking what is not satyam, and speaking that satyam also in a pleasant way, all that he talks about. And tapas at the mind level. What is tapas at the mind level? You control the negative thoughts and direct it towards the positive. You can take various health, japa, reading, etc., etc. But there is tapas. There has to be tapas. Without tapas, it's not possible to evolve spiritually or even at the mundane level, material level, there has to be some kind of tapas. And tapas has two aspects. One is called conservation of energy that is getting dissipated in the lower channel, directing the conserved energy towards the higher. So the unnecessary leaking areas, we need to plug. Conservation of energy that is getting dissipated in the lower channels. The energy is getting dissipated in criticizing people, gossiping about them. So you control. There is a tendency to gossip. So in the mind, the thought has come, let me call that person and share this gossip. It's okay if it's come in the mind. Don't waste your energy by talking about it. Control it. Tapas karo. Thoda sa swallow. Drink water and keep quiet. So the energy is conserved. The energy that is required to do your work, you are wasting in gossiping. Having conserved that, now you direct that energy in talking something positive or doing some other action which is positively contributing to the goal. So this is called tapas, tapo yajna. You can say at the physical level, but it involves at other levels also. Speech, mind, etc. Kaika vachika manasa. Then comes yoga yajna. Yoga yajna is ashtanga yoga. The yoga practices. Yoga practices you do watching a television doesn't become yoga yajna. When you do yoga, when your mind, intellect, body, everything is in integrated condition in one line, and you do those asanas, then you develop mind's focus. So that again for the purpose of the goal. Not to make a living or become famous in that. And yoga yajna can be broadly interpreted as anything that you do to unite with Brahman. Yoga comes from the root Riju. So more at the mind level and intellect level also. You can do yoga yajna. So we have seen Deva yajna, Brahma yajna, Dhamma yajna, Vishaya Bhoga yajna, Shama yajna, Dravya yajna, Tapo yajna, Yoga yajna. Then comes Swadhyaya yajna. Swadhyaya basically means what? Parayana. Chanting. Chanting gives a particular vibration. Chanting, in chanting also there is breathing involved. All this is conducive for the control of the mind. And not doing mechanical. Remember, yajna means with awareness. Nothing should be done mechanically. So, swadhyaya yajna. Then comes jnana yajna. Tenth yajna, jnana yajna. Jnana yajna is where you use your intellect, you do shravana manana nididhyasana, which is listening, reflecting and meditating. So through listening, reflecting and meditating, you offer the ignorance and kindle the knowledge of the self. Through the analysis, you separate the non-self from the self. And then you identify with the self. The process of churning, assertion and negation. By clear analysis, with the help of the Guru Shastra, you discriminate between what is permanent and what is impermanent. Identifying with the permanent, you negate impermanent and then dissolve the ego, the ignorance completely in the knowledge of the self. This is called Jnana Yajna. So, in this country where Bhagavad Gita is given, still people were all involved in doing only that fire worship. Hardly anyone were getting into study and all that. As a practice of yajna. So what Swami Chinmayanandaji did is, he took this word jnana yajna. And then he started jnana yajna everywhere. He said, this country is mechanically stuck in performing these rituals. Even there, you see, that ritual symbolism, if we understand, at least we will take it into our organizations and convert that into sacrificial activities. But that is not as happening. Organization level, family level, everybody is so selfish. But mechanically, yajnas will be done. Tons and tons of offering will be done, this and that. But when it comes to living, none of them is practiced. So what Swami Chidananda did is, let us start what is called as Gita Jnana Yajna. So where there is no fire, outside fire set and then pouring ghee and all that stuff, the lecture is organized, the guru is the priest who comes and gives the knowledge, and we through Shravana, Manana, Nididhyasana, we take in that knowledge and give our ego and ignorance and kindle the fire of knowledge of Atma and better our life, bring in harmony within and outside, without. This is called Jnana Yajna, Gita Jnana Yajna. It's a beautiful thing that Swami Chidananda started, and his disciples, our Swamiji, Dhananji and their disciples, everybody continue this tradition. So once a year, the Guru comes and conducts it in different centers, and the Shishyas throughout the year continue the lighting of the knowledge. So they say once you light the lamp should continue to glow. So somebody or the other take the turn and pour oil, change the wick and continue the fire going. So thus the ignorance is sacrificed and knowledge is kindled in Jnana Yajna. Then he talks about Pranayama Yajna. So now Dravya Yajna, Tapo Yajna, Yoga Yajna, Swadhyaya Yajna, Jnana Yajna. All these are talked in verse number 28. 25, Deva Yajna, Brahma Yajna. 26, Dhamma Yajna, Vishaya Bhoga Yajna. 27, Atma Samyama Yajna or Shama Yajna. 28, Dravya Yajna, Tapo Yajna, Yoga Yajna, Swadhyaya Yajna, Jnana Yajna. 5 Yajnas in verse 28. Total comes to 10. Then the 11th one is talked in 29th, where he talks about Pranayama Yajna. Prana means the vital air. There are Pancha Prana. Prana, Apana, Samana, Vyana, Udana. Inhalation, exhalation, circulation, digestion, all this thought absorption. All these are various functions of the physiology. So by controlling the prana, which is the medium between the physical body and the mind, you can control the body and the mind. So pranayama. Yama means control. So, practicing control of prana, how much of prana you take in, how much of prana you give out, inhalation, exhalation, everything you consciously breathe in, breathe out, and withhold, and all that. Like when you do anulom vilom, you have purakam, rechakam, kumbakam. You take in the breath, and then you hold. Then you give out breath and hold. So purakam, you take in. Then you hold. It's called antara kumbhakam. Then you give out. It's called rechakam. Then you hold. It's called bahya kumbhakam. So all this put together is pranayama. Basically, especially certain pranayama things, especially the kumbhakam thing, where you hold. Don't do it without the guidance of Guru. Somebody who can teach you properly, with them, you learn and do, otherwise you may get into a lot of trouble. Purakam, rechakam, inhaling, exhaling, that's up to you. You can do whatever you want. But if you are doing kumbhakam, then it better be through certain people who know how to do it. Through them you learn. Otherwise, don't get into that. You may get into difficult situations. Because we are talking about it, I thought I'll mention it here. So pranayama you practice. When you do that pranayama, as it is in your doing, it is done with awareness. And with awareness, when you control the pranas, your circulation, digestion, thought absorption, everything is functioning properly. You need to have a body which functions properly, which can digest properly, so that you can function towards your goal. So all this that we have been studying now is for you to function and move towards the goal. So all along, your 24/7 at the background of your mind, the thought of the goal is there. So you are like an ambassador. Whatever the ambassador he or she does, it is always with the awareness of India, because the clothes the ambassador will wear, or the whatever words the ambassador will say, they will say India says. They won't say Indian ambassador says. India says. So 24/7, the ambassador is aware of the country that he represents or she represents. Similarly, 24/7, with awareness of the goal, you convert every action into worship. So if you are sitting in the mandir and the thought is not of Bhagavan, it is of the world, it ceases to be worship. Even if you are sitting in some fish market, but the thought is of Bhagavan, that becomes worship. So worship means what? Identification, dedication. Then only it becomes worship. When the identification and dedication is missing, it is not worship. So if you are doing Shraad, for example, it's a ritual that you perform. Now you can't tell the Panditji, I have to go to attend an important meeting. So can you please fasten the whole thing quickly? So then it becomes mechanical. So there is no dedication, there is no identification. So pranayama helps in all these physiological functions, indirectly helps in control of the mind and the body, which indirectly helps in taking you towards the goal, even directly. So this is called pranayama yajna. That is in verse number 29. Then in verse number 30, he gives ahara niyama yajna. Ahara means food intake. Niyama. You have to consume food for you to be able to continue working towards the goal. So therefore, what kind of food you should consume for you to continue towards the goal, you need to decide. You can't say all these various types of food is available, which one I will eat. That depends on what your goal is. There's a very interesting lecture by Swami Ramtirtha. It's called Vedantic Idea of Eating Meat. Now, I've been recommending this. There is this books. There are these books called Inwards of God Realization by Swami Ramtirtha. Ramtirtha never wrote any book. He only gave lectures. All his lectures are transcribed and brought in book form. And they are brought in 7 volumes called Inwards of God Realization. There is this Ramtirtha Pratishthan in Jandewala. They have these books. You can go to the internet and then maybe place an order and buy the books. And many of his lectures, Swamiji has digested and brought in Vedanta Treatise books. So, he talks about Vedantic idea of eating meat. If your goal is self-realization or something spiritual, now, if you are involved in Vedantic teaching, you need to consume a certain type of food which is conducive for your goal. What is your goal? Based on that. So, ahara niyama, intake. Like I said, ahara is not just food. It can mean what you take into through your eyes, ears, nose, thoughts, everything. But specifically, he's talking about food here. A certain type of food will make you drowsy. Certain type of food will make you extremely energetic, more conducive for physical exertion. But if you are involved in study, reflection, and propagation of this knowledge, etc., if that is what is your goal and job, your nature, then you need more that kind of food. So what food, how much food, when, how much of fasting, gap that you give between meals, all that comes under this. Ahara Niyama Yajna. The 12th yajna mentioned in verse 30. So this order can be this way, that way, jumbled. You can rephrase it, reorder it. All that he's saying is, set a goal. And goal, when we say in Vedanta, we mean something beyond your selfish, self-centered interest. Every being other than human being is functioning in this spirit of yajna. Sun is giving light, vitality, it's nourishing, it's evaporating the water from the ocean, allowing it to come down as rain. So, every other being is performing in the spirit of yajna. Only human being doesn't perform in the spirit of yajna. Consciously, he can do it. But unfortunately, he consciously functions other than yajna. This is a problem. So therefore, set a goal and dedicate your intake, your perceptions, your actions, your pranas, your emotions, your thoughts, everything towards the goal. And then whatever comes, you accept that as prasad, dedication and prasad. When you do, then that action is converted into yajna. And when you do like that, any action, not even the other actions which are not mentioned in this 12, even sweeping your house, washing your vessels, whatever you do, it can be converted into worship the moment your attitude is changed. I am doing, only I am doing, nobody else is doing. Then, even if you are washing the utensils, puja utensils, but constantly grumbling and saying nobody is doing it every day, only I have to do, and it is not a spiritual activity, even though you are washing puja utensils. So therefore, remember, it is not what you do, but how you do. So he says, this list is not exhaustive, this 12 is not exhaustive, but he beautifully covers everything. The food, and then physical body, prana, mind, intellect. In all this, he covers the five koshas. What are the five koshas? Kosha means sheath that cover the atma. What are they? Annamaya kosha, the food sheath. Pranamaya kosha, the vital air sheath. Manomaya kosha, the mind sheath. Vijnanamaya kosha, the intellectual sheath. And then Anandamaya kosha, the vasana. So by taking care of all these four koshas, and when it is dedicated, it dissolves all the five sheets, including the vasanas will be dropped. Then when all the sheets are removed, then the atma within is discovered. Therefore he says, all yajnas finally culminate in wisdom, realization of the self. But of all this, he says, jnana yajna is superior. Why? All he wants to say, when he says jnana yajna is superior, it is not to compare and say all other fellows are useless fellows. No. What he is trying to say is, when you do yoga and keep your body in a certain condition, when you do ahara niyama yajna, you keep your pranas, distribution, everything in certain condition. When you do pranayama, again, the same thing. When you do sense control, mind control, all this, they are all helpful for you to sit down and study. Do shravana, manana, nididhyasana, through that what happens? You dissolve the ignorance and finally merge with the Brahman. Therefore, Jnana Yajna is superior, meaning what? All other yajnas help indirectly for you to do Jnana Yajna, and then finally through Jnana Yajna you realize the self. So you purify, come to Jnanam, and through Jnanam you realize the self. Therefore, he is not trying to ridicule the other yajnas, he is only trying to say all other yajnas help you to come to Jnana Yajna, and finally Jnana Yajna will help you to dissolve the ignorance completely, where the offerer is offered. That's the final step, no? So in the final step, I started in the beginning telling this. In the final step, what do? The very offerer is offered. When the offerer is offered, what remains is Brahman. Then you reach that Brahman. This is called 12 yajnas. So therefore, is there a lot of yajnas? You follow all of this or whatever, but whatever you do, please do it as a dedication. Then he says, those who are sitting and studying, they are also worshipping me only. So a lot of people have this problem. Hey, yaar, this person is not lighting the lamp. She doesn't do puja. He doesn't do puja. But that person may be getting up early in the morning and studying, reflecting on the scriptures. When they are doing it, they are already doing worship. They are already doing yajna. So anything you do, even if you are not going inside the puja room and doing the puja there, if you do it as a dedication, it becomes yajna. So all he wants to say through this is, convert your entire life into worship of Bhagavan. Don't just restrict your worship to the four walls called puja room and then come out and be selfish. This is not the way to live. So therefore we say prayer is not a part-time, past-time hobby. It is a full-time awareness of truth. So this is 12 yajna portion from verse 25 to 30. So let us conclude now. Om Purnamadha Purnamidham Purnat Purnamadachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Kayena Vacha Kayena Vacha Manasendriyairva Manasendriyairva Buddhyatmana Va Buddhyatmana Va Prakrite Swabhavat Prakrite Swabhavat Karomi Adhya Karomi Adhya Sakalam Parasmahi Sakalam Parasmahi Narayanayeti Samarpayami Narayanayeti Samarpayami. Hari Om. See you all.